السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You need to come around, inshallah. Come closer, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد. We gather again for another name and attributes of the beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I miss it as much as you do when we, you know, when we skip a couple of weeks. And because there is nothing better than reflecting on Allah's attributes and names, because it touches us and it makes us recognize what Allah does and who is Allah more and more. And that gives the heart tranquility and calmness. Today's name, inshallah, is going to be Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. This name was mentioned twice in surah, in one surah. Twice in one surah. What that surah is? Surah Ar-Rahman. Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in it, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And at the end, تَبَارَكَ اسْمُ رَبِّكَ ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And the scholars who, you know, of Arabi, they say, why the first one is Dhul Jalali wal Ikram and the second one Dhil Jalali wal Ikram? The first one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kullu man alayha fan, everything on it, meaning on earth, will perish, except wayabqa, and will stay, wajhu rabbika, Dhul Jalali wa Ikram, except the face of your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhul Jalal is marfu' with the waw, because it is from Asma' al-Khamsa, right? From the five, who? Yeah. Okay, so it's not with the Dhamma, it's with the waw instead. So Dhul Jalali, that means it's referring to whom? Al-Wajh. Exactly. Wajhullah. Okay? Face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one, which is at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Tabaraka ismu rabbika dhul jalal wal ikram. If we say ismu rabbika dhul jalal wal ikram, it will refer to what? To the name. To the ism. Ismu. Okay? So, no, Dhul Jalal wal Ikram is not the ism, it's not the name, it is Allah. So, ismu Rabbika, then Rabbika is majroor with the kasra, then Dhul Jalal wal Ikram. So, it is a name and attributes of Allah. What does that mean, Dhul Jalali wal Ikram? Scholars put the names of Allah in two categories. Okay? The categories of Jalal and the categories of Ikram or Jamal. Okay? The categories of Jalal is the categories that has to do with what Allah, who is Allah, and what Allah does in a way of quwwa, in a way of jabbar, okay? In a way of al-aziz. The strength and what Allah does in a way of also punishment, and so forth. And the second category is a category of ikram, or a category of jamal. Jamal is beauty. Ikram is generosity and giving. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. This has to do with mercy, has to do with rahmah, has to do with forgiveness, has to do with maghfirah, has to do with at-tawwab, al-ghaffar. So some scholars said, listen to how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ends his prayer after the prayer is done. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as soon as the prayer is done, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, astaghfirullah, 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 Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses this. And is a reference to a hadith that Rasulullah sallam listened to someone who's making dua, and he used this name among others, and Rasulullah sallam referred to him and says, or talked to him and says, you have made a dua to Allah through his name al-ismul a'zam, the great name, the one that when he is asked with, he will answer. So scholar says, it is this name, Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the name, but did not say it. When Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha wanted to know, so she said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me. Okay, tell me about the name. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks with Allah's great name, Ismullah al-A'zam, the greatest name of Allah, Rasulullah sallam did not tell her. Did not tell her. Ma laki ya Aisha, no. It's not to be said. But he would hint. Okay. And this is this is the issue. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us things that are so great, okay? But then he would hide it, and you have to look for it. You have to look for it. You have to work for it. What is the essence of that? As we were talking in Fajr a couple of days ago, the commitment that you have with Allah could be an open-ended commitment or a commitment that has an end. And Allah gives you opportunity to do both. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you Ramadan that has a middle, has a beginning, a middle, and an end, right? So the beginning of Ramadan, what do? You put your sleeves up, you're getting ready, and you're going to really worship Allah. And because it has an end, you have certain energy. Because you know there is an end will come, okay? So so you put the energy in it, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put in it one night, Laylatul Qadr. But hide it. So you have to do some work. You have to, you know, but still, you catch maybe three nights or so and say, this night, it is a night. So just sleep all day, just go at night until Fajr, catch it. So energy is there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the open-ended commitment. Okay? The open-ended commitment is the commitment not for one fajr you come, or a week of fajr every day and you'll get that reward. No. It is fajr in time in the masjid all your life. That is a commitment. That is the beauty. This is what you get. You're not a Ramadan person alone. You're not a Laylatul Qadr person alone. You are Allah have this open-ended commitment for the one that loves Allah. and for the one that Allah loves. When we have a guest speaker from far away, how many people show us up? A lot of people shows up. Advertisement and so forth. And part of that is, it is a commitment for one night. Right? You come in, you know, have dinner, come in, sit around before, you know, between Maghrib and Isha, you listen, you go home, it's done. Okay? When you go to the same speaker's masjid, what happens when he is there having an open-ended commitments, right? You find only few that would come around, small numbers still. Okay. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the sunnah that is little but continuous. Not so much and not so often. Nah. Okay. So here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will tell us about, you know, hints about the name of Allah. So you can look forward for this name or look for that name. Not quite easy, you have to do some work. And the best work is the one that never ends, that is continuous. And the purpose of this particular halaqat is to get that relationship with Allah when we know Allah's attributes and names and attributes. So we'll have that continuous relationship with Allah. So we will not have any moment or any experience without thinking about Allah in it. See? Imagine yourself, you know so much about the attributes of Allah that you can recognize the attributes of Allah with you in everything that you do. You become in constant dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the beauty of knowing Allah. You have a continuous relationship that has no end. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who's committing a sin, he is not a mu'min while he's doing it. You understand? Meaning he is not remembering Allah at this moment. If he would remember Allah, he will not do it. So the lack of relationship or connection with Allah is there. That's why the open-ended commitment, it is so great, and the prayer is the only open-ended commitment that we have with Allah. Right? Isn't it the only one? What other pillars that has an open-ended commitment? The other pillars has an end, right? You go to Hajj. You know when you're going to travel, when you're going to come back, when it's going to end. Once a lifetime, it is done. You pay zakah. Okay, you might be able to pay it. You might not be qualified to give it and so forth. But it is once and it's done. As-salah is the only one that is continuous. Continuous. And the reward of it is continuous as well. Okay? And this open-ended commitment with the salah and other things that you choose to do continuously with Allah, this is, has a lasting relationship and commitment that is lasting has a mark on us that is lasting as well. Okay? It is a mark that does not have an effect that goes away, but a mark that does not go away. It is permanently, you carry with you and it becomes you. We talk about this often. There is a difference between something you carry with you and something that becomes you. Okay? When you come in for Laylatul Qadr only, you come in and ask it and so forth, and Allah encourages you to come, Allah will reward you and so forth, and you leave, Allah's gifts with you, Allah will answer your dua and so forth. But what is lasting with you, what is it that would last with you? Not much after a while. But when you come to the masjid every Fajr and every Isha and every time you can, when you come to the halaqat, when you have regular relationship with the masjid and worshiping Allah, and regular sunnah that you do, only Allah would know about it, you and Allah especially, the beautiful sunnah that you do and no one knows about it, you only you and Allah and so forth, continuous like that, it has a lasting mark on you that changes you. Permanently, it changes you. Then you become a different person. You change from the inside, and Allah will change what's happening to you from the outside. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as some scholars are saying, that Allah Dhul Jalal, the one you attribute these attributes to, Allah Dhul Jalal, the strength, the punishment, the power, the izzah, and the attributes of Jamal or Ikram, it is a giving. Allah gives you. Not it's a giving. It is a giving action from Allah to you. A constant giving to you. Allah is the one who is Al-Kareem, the one who is generous, the one who is beautiful, the one who is keep on giving you. So, there is a difference between a ni'mah that you receive and a karam that you receive. Okay? Ni'mah, a bounty. Karam is more than bounty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives ni'mah to everyone because Allah created everyone. So Allah put on himself responsibility to give this person whatever they absolutely need, a believer or a disbeliever. You have وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, for Allah the best example. If you are sitting, you know, in a gathering, you're inviting people around, and you're sitting and you invite, because you invited them, you are giving them to eat, you are giving them things to, you know, to drink, you are, you know, taking care of them. But then there is a difference between that and singling one or two of them and making sure that they are comfortable, making sure that if they need something, you'll get it right away, making sure that they get more than the others, and you pay really attention to them. This is ikram. So Allah's ikram will reach his servants that are close to him. Okay? And only the servants that are close to Allah will recognize that. And they will just say it in a couple of words of Alhamdulillah, it's ni'mah from Allah, it's fadlum from Allah, and that's it. But they know that they are Allah's favoring them. And you will know that Allah is favoring you is not just give you a ni'mah. Allah has given you a ni'mah with karam in it. Allah has given you a ni'mah with generosity. Allah has given you a ni'mah with care. Allah will give you a ni'mah with protection. All of this is ikram. So we look in the history and in the stories of the Quran, and we know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his jalal appeared and his ikram appeared, and sometimes was the same time, both of them. When a messenger come and ask the people to follow and go through trouble and go through hardship, and you find the groups are separated, and then you find the punishment and the reward at the same time coming. You find the those who are disobeyed and went away, how Allah described the punishment that came to them, and how Allah took care of those who were the followers of the messengers. Dhul Jalal wal Ikram. And you find those who disobeying, they only talk about Allah, Dhul Ikram, not Dhul Jalal. Okay? They only talk about Allah, the one who loves, the one who gives, the one who have rahmah, the one who have forgiveness, and so forth. The follower, or those that Nuh alayhi salam came to, they believed in Allah. They believed in the existence of Allah. And they said to Nuh alayhi salam, if Allah wishes, why didn't he send angel who wishes to? And we have not heard anything like this before from our forefathers, that a man become a messenger like that. What is that? So they knew about Allah. But Nuh alayhi salam, ma lakum la tarjuna lillahi waqara, waqad khalaqakum atwara. Okay? Why your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like that? Okay? Why you do not have this feeling of jalal toward Allah, and you only think of Allah as the one who forgives and so forth? That is why when this combination is in a person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that is a good sign. That is khair. That is knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserved to be feared, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will give the mercy. And you're afraid and you have hope at the same time. That is the most balanced believer around. Okay? This is a believer who's going in the middle path. This is a believer that does not talk about Allah and love and brotherhood and care and you know, forgiveness and all of this alone. Okay? But also talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who punishes, the one who takes revenge, if you will, and so forth. And the one who talks about Allah is the one who punishes and so forth alone also is an extreme. He loses this relationship with Allah and give up on the mercy of Allah, and only a kafir will reach that level. A believer who would have the balance between the Jalal wal Ikram, or knowing, taking this together as a whole. Okay, and Allah put them together, not separated, because you should take it together. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the end of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yatajalla al-jabbaru bi rahmatihi." Right? Allah will come at the end of Ramadan, and Rasulullah sallam described a name of Allah, Al-Jabbar. Okay? And Al-Jabbar would have some mercy in it as well, but also have a connotation of Jalal in it. Okay? And then he will come, Al-Jabbar, with what? With his mercy. Here it is, both. Both. So, we run away from Allah. But there is no way to run from Allah except to Him. So we run away from Allah to Allah. We run away from the attributes of punishment to Allah, Allah's attributes of mercy and rahmah. This is the beauty of this. Because this explains that Allah as Dhul Jalal, does not mean that you be afraid to the point of feeling that there is no mercy. That is not justice. With our feeling toward Allah, we're committing injustice here. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries both. He is both. Okay? So when we go and run, we run to Allah. And we run to Allah, and we know that He is, His mercy supersedes and comes before His punishment. Okay? His mercy comes before His punishment. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, Allah does not give because He wants something in return. Okay? When we become servant, as a servant to Allah, we get the benefit of our master, from our master. A servant to a man, the man gets the benefit of the servant. Right? It's a beautiful relationship. You want a benefit, you want some benefit, you go to Allah and become the servant. And that is the way you're going to get all the benefit. Because this relationship between abd and ilah, between a servant and a deity to worship about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a relationship of abundance for the servant. There is no other servant. There is no other master. Okay? That will have this dealing with you. So when you have shirk, wal'iyadhu billah, you lose everything. Because whatever you take as a master, you are serving it. But all the benefit goes to your master, and you receive no benefit. And not even from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that. Okay? So when we go to someone that gives, okay, you might like the person that gives, but you do not fear the person that gives. You might fear a person because of something, but this person does not give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, the only one who is worthy to be feared, and the only one that worthy to be asked to give you what you need. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is both. And in the hereafter, once we start leaving this life, we're going to be really in an open-ended proposition, right? Truly will not have an end. You understand? In this life, we are working, those who are working in an open-ended work, not waiting for an end, say, I've done enough, nor saying, give me what I deserve now. No, we're just going on and doing the work. Okay? So, the life that you're doing the work in will end. And some would look forward to the end. Would look forward to the end. Do not mind. Have some fear, but have hope and do not mind. So when you die, you move into an area that is truly an open-ended, that does not have an end. So the true pleasure there is that you're no longer afraid for a believer, and Allah, the one who is Kareem, the one who gives, the one who is generous, is keep giving you in abundance that you've never experienced before. And it has no end. Okay? So the open-ended proposition at the end there is what? You do not do any work, and you have no fear, but Allah, Dhul Ikram, is giving you and giving you and giving you. That is Jannah. That is Jannah. And you can experience part of it in this life with the same concept, which is you're not doing the work to be paid now. So you go through hardship and you're fine. You go through difficulties and it is okay, because it doesn't matter what's happening now. You are worshiping Allah not for the return now, but you are getting close to Allah because Allah is worthy to worship, to be worshipped. Allah is worthy to get close to. Allah is the only one you should be servant to. And you might go through difficulties, but Allah will not put you through difficulties, true difficulties in this life for the believer. The comfort of the heart will always be there. The opening of the chest that we always talk about will always be there, even though you might go through difficulties. As someone said, Allah is too generous. When you do work, Allah is too generous to pay you back in installment. Okay, or to pay you back in a deferred payment, meaning to wait and then pay you at the end. Allah is too generous for that. Okay? So Allah will give you payments now before the payments in the hereafter. Must. And what is the greatest payment? That whatever you're going through, your chest will be open. You'll be able to take things. Difficulties is not going to affect you much. This is the beauty of the relationship with Allah in this life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Have we not opened your chest for you? Okay. Haven't we done that for you? It is a bounty that Allah said that He did for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay. What did Musa alayhi salam say when his chest got closed a little bit, when he finally found out that he's going to go to the Pharaoh? Rabbi shrah li sadri. Oh Allah, open my chest for me, quick. Okay. And Allah told Musa alayhi salam, لَقَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. You were given what you asked for, Musa. Musa alayhi salam asked for many things, but the first thing he asked for, رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِ. So Allah opened the chest for Musa alayhi salam. That is a benefit. Now here's Musa alayhi salam going to the tyrant of this earth, and all the this, you know, person who killing children, doing this left and right, but his chest was open. His chest had an ease in it. Okay? That is a benefit. That the one that recognizes Allah's attribute would have. The one that have a commitment, open-ended commitment with Rasul, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have. The one who have an open commitment with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have. Does not matter what kind of a seems to be difficulty there is. Okay. Doesn't matter that you see that the matter is being closed, but Allah, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open it. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of things. And the more you know about the attributes of Allah, the more you see this clearly. The more you reflect on your life and say, I know in my life, in such time and such time, I had such difficulties and it opened in a way that I never thought it would open. And such place in my life, I looked at certain things and I thought I'm going to this path, and all of a sudden change went to a different path. And so forth. Okay. I'm going to end up with a small story that happened to me a couple days ago. With my brother and I, we were trying to get something done officially and stamped and so forth. So it has to be notarized with many, many notary public, right? It has to, because it's going to go overseas, so it had to go through a notary public first, and then you go to the state that you are in, to the offices of that state, they will notarize it again, and then you take it and you go to the state department in DC, and they will notarize it again, okay? That's the only way it has to be done. So we were in DC trying to do this. Then my brother thought, okay, instead of coming to Maryland again, or coming to Columbia and notarize it here, and going to Annapolis to notarize it there again, and then come to DC, why don't we get a notary from DC? So we do not have to go to the state. We skip one notary, right? We'll get it from DC, so we only have to go to the State Department. Good idea. So we go and look for one. We go to the first bank, did not have. Second bank, did not have. And you know all the trouble in DC and moving around. So one says, the cleaner at the end of the street there, they have a notary. So we go to the cleaner. He looks at the paper. Do you have notary? Yes. He looks at the paper. He says, I don't understand the papers. It was in Arabic, right? So I'm not going to. We said, you only notarizing that. Here is my ID and I'm signing it. You are notarizing my signature, not anything else. No, refused. Finally, he said, okay, never mind. We'll leave. And then found a bank. So my brother stopped the car and said, you stay here. Let me go in the bank. He went in the bank and he found someone who is a foreign, works there. So, he's, you know, yes, we have notary. Just come on in. We'll do everything. Oh, alhamdulillah. Finally, now we're going to get a notary from DC. So we skip Maryland altogether and we go to the State Department, you know, directly. So we go in. Yeah, and the man was almost, you know, going to give us something to drink or something to eat or something, right? And then he notarized it and everything and so forth. Thank you very much. And then as we're leaving, he said, by the way, if somebody asks you, you know, where did you get this, do not say from D.C. Because when I got my notary, they gave me the wrong one. It was a Maryland notary. So it is a Maryland one, not a D.C. one. Okay? So now, how do you take that? You know, so when we heard that, we both laughed so much. And he said, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planning it this way for a reason. For a reason. We have to go to Annapolis and do this now. Okay? And okay. So, you know, alhamdulillah, we take it this way. You understand? You know, someone else might curse after all of this, you know. Spending, you know, half a day doing all of this, going back and forth, and finally you thought that you reached it, but you did not. You get exactly what you didn't want to get. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our heart and open our chest. So we accept everything that Allah give us. Inshallah, let us start, and may inshallah you make a comment, inshallah, and we're ready to get the beautiful comments that you always will give, inshallah. Go ahead.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Salatu salam ala khair al-anbiya al-mursaleen Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Just I was thinking when you are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes, and it makes sense what you said, that this what I think about is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes all around us, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't know which attribute is, it's all around us. Is the Jalal attributes, which is punishment, Jabbar, Qahhar, and the Ikram attributes, which is Wahhab, you know, Rahim, mm-hmm. all of them, 99, mm-hmm. which we know. So, what is it when we said ittaqullah? You know, when you said ittaqullah, mm-hmm. Allah, and shield yourself, protect yourself in Allah. When we protect ourselves, are we protecting from all the attributes? Yeah. Are we? You see? So, subhanallah. Mm-hmm. When you really fear Allah and have taqwa towards Allah, you are building a wall, mm-hmm. you know, building a wall against, the more you do, the more you build this wall against the attributes of Allah, of the Jabbar, of the Jalal attributes. So you are shielding yourself from the punishment, from the Allah being, you know, the angry from you, all of these. You are building a wall as much as you can. The more you do, the more you're building a wall. No. And you still having, you are swimming, you are, it's all around you, the attributes of mercy and giving and generosity and rahmah. So you are, it's like Allah said in the Quran that a wall, in the outside of the wall is the punishment, and the inside of the wall is the rahmah.
Yes.
So that's in the end, Allah will put a wall in the day of judgment where the adab is from the other side and the jannah will be from this side. So I think about this, look, the more we have taqwa towards Allah, the more we are shielding ourselves from the Allah attributes, which is the one will get us the punishment. And if we keep one brick in this wall, it will go through and touch us somehow. So you have to be careful all the time, have a taqwa towards Allah from His attributes of Jalal. And you will stay in the attributes of Akram, inshallah.
MashaAllah. MashaAllah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, I was...
Give it close to your mouth, inshallah.
There's a... You said about the sajda, and there's a Pakistani scholar, Allama Iqbal, you might have heard of his name. He understood Quran very well, and in his poetry, so there's one of his verses, he says, I'll say in Urdu and then I'll translate it.
Okay.
He says, "Ye ek sajda jise tu samajhta hai gira, this one sajda that is hard on you, deta hai hazar sajdon se tujhko nijat. It protects you from thousands of sajda you have to make to the people."
Mm-hmm.
So it's beautiful. In one verse he described all that.
Yes.
In a nutshell, he had a lot of this kind of poetry, which is very impressive.
Yes. Yes.
My other question was about after the, what will be the, after the Day of Judgment, about the Ibadah, what will be the form of Ibadah? Is there any saying about that?
None. No obligatory Ibadah. No. The Ibadah will be, it will be your breath. Your breath is going to be dhikr. Okay? It is not by choice, meaning it is, your ibadah will be in a harmony with the place that you're in and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not an obligation because it is a place of reward. And we know that from the hadith when Rasulullah ﷺ told us that when Allah appears, the believers will start making sujood. Allah will tell them, no, you do not make sujood anymore. This is a place of reward, not in a place of work. Okay, but then their dhikr of Allah will be continuous. Okay, and remembrance of Allah will be continuous. Wallahu a'lam.
I think a good example for this is for today's life. Simply, if you work hard, let's say in a school test, nobody passes a test in school if you don't study, if you don't work hard. If you say, okay, this test is easy, I'm gonna pass, my teacher loves me, he will make me pass, you go take the test and then you'll see if you pass or not. Or other ways, other vice versa, if you think that this test is too hard, I'm studying but I don't think I will never get, this teacher is hard, he's gonna grade on me and he's gonna punish my, you know, work, he's not gonna give me what I deserve, and then you will, again, not do as well. But if you keep in a balance, you know, mm-hmm. It's not too easy, but it's not too hard. I will do my best, you know. It's same way for the, you know, akhirah and other
ones. Yes.
We have to keep it in balance, and
yes.
We have to, and there's no test that without studying, without, yes. you know, giving our best, that, you know, you cannot expect much if you don't do anything. Yeah. And also, final word about how, you know.
Before you go to the next point, and the beauty of this is that Allah gave us the answer sheet too. Yeah. But we refuse to look at it.
Easy.
Yeah, it's open book exam, exactly. Allah tell you exactly what's going to be in the exam, exactly what the answers are.
In one ayah,
and you're still...
one sentence. You know? But, you know, sometimes we look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how difficult it is, even for him, when he said he was giving out, I was reading his death time when he was dying, and one of his last words, he said he was, you know, in severe pain, and he said, "I did not know that it was so, you know, difficult to give your, you know, get your ruh out of your body. It was mm-hmm. so painful for him that even he said, even to me, I was, you know, he wasn't expecting this much pain."
Mm-hmm.
So we should, you know, not only you know, look at one side of, oh, you know, getting it, oh, it's this life is hard, I will never get into Jannah. Because the other day I was talking to my grandmother, she was came back from the country, from Turkey, and I was telling her, and then my uncle was listening to us, and I didn't know he was, and we were talking about, you know, before he was there, we were talking about how Allah is merciful, and then when he was there, we were talking about his punishments as well. And he said, "Oh, you guys always talk about his punishments. You will blah blah blah." He did not like it. So yeah. Some people do not like to hear the punishments, but we have to know how difficult it is to mm-hmm. get into something. Yeah. But we also have to know that Allah, you know, Subhanahu wa Taala, He's merciful.
Alhamdulillah, Jazakumullah khair.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. Talking about the open-ended ibadah, which is the salah, which is the hardest and really on Muslims. I remember a story, I don't know about the ethnicity of it, which is talking about a guy who was want to marry a girl, and he's not a good guy to start with. I mean, he don't pray, he don't worship, and do all his obligations. So her father demanded one thing from him, that he has to pray 40 times Fajr at the masjid every day. If he missed one day, then he starts over.
40 days?
Yes.
40 days straight.
In a row. So that guy said, "Oh, it's easy, I can do it." I mean, he will start doing it, and still he's not straightened. But every week he starts getting better in behavior and in his worship. Until he reached the 40, I mean, he was attached to the masjid that really he could not break anymore. And then, so from that story, I'm really trying, and it's not an easy thing that really to pray 40 times consecutive in the masjid Fajr, something will happen, you will miss it, and then you have to start, the chain will be broken, then you have to start over. Trying to reach that and see that effect on me, and how that going to make me really attached and not being able to miss a prayer in the masjid, especially Fajr. That's really a struggle, and I think it's a lot of Muslims, especially youth, and struggling through it.
Yes. Jazakumullah khair.
If we know good gifts were coming, just coming to the Fajr or Isha time, you know,
mm-hmm.
pray, we are like praying of the middle of the night, you know. If somebody were to say, you want to pray, you know, till the middle of the night nonstop, you can't do it. It's you will be very tired, your tongue will be tired. Just coming to the Isha prayer, you are like, even though if you're sleeping, from the hadith, I think, is it Sahih, right?
Yes.
That you are praying till the middle of the night, so... If everybody knew what middle of the night, I think, is it?
The
Isha.
The Isha, up to the middle of the night or to Fajr, is a different opinion.
But anyways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the hard things, we're giving so much more by doing it, you know? If we're looking from that perspective. Yes. And I think the guy is like the guy from he wanted the hijrah for the woman. This guy is praying 40 nights for the woman.
He started with that intention, but he ended with different intention, which is his heart was attached to the masjid. So her father, I think, and he was the sheikh, I think, he knew that it's going to happen.
but he didn't tell him from the beginning. He knew what to expect with the end.
About the commitment, subhanAllah, if you are really absolutely sincere, you know, about any commitment, like Sheikh Mahmoud said, and you consider this is for life, like Salat al-Fajr, for example. I'm just telling you from experience. Once you go through this and it's done deal, there is no way you could, you have to be stubborn first. you should be like, this is like, done, finish, you know. Once you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know in your heart that it is sealed, that's done, you will have another challenge right away, you know. Another, completely different, another commitment. And once you pass this again, Allah will give you another one. And so on and so forth. So when I reflect now on this, when I started, like you said, you know, I don't even remember that this is a commitment anymore. This is the life, and now I'm thinking like, what are you talking about, Fajr? this is. Don't talk about Fajr anymore. It's not a Subhanallah, yani. But you have another commitment in life now. Now I'm in a commitment, for example, and I find it so hard. But I'm standing fast, Alhamdulillah. But the more I stand fast, the more it become easy. And once it become easy, I'm sure Allah will give me something else, you know. And when I said commitment, it's time, effort, way of thinking, you know, it's all about this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what I found is, will make you, what is it prevent you from doing that time? He will make everything, whatever was taking your time, He will do it for you. So you have time. Is it busy in the heart? Allah will make heart empty for you, so your heart will be just for this. Is it money? Allah give you money. So no excuse. Allah will not leave, said, okay, because of that, I cannot do this. Allah will take care of it. And this is what we are going to talk, inshallah, about Ibn al-Qayyim, what he's talking about tonight. Exactly this point, you know. So, yes, it's the first step. Once you take it, Allah is guarantee for you the second step, you know. And that's how Jannah have levels. You know, you take the first step, you go through it, so you are now in the second, and then the second. And the more you are committed, and the more you are servant of Allah, the highest you will go. It's like reading Quran, it's like, you know, all the jobs in the world. But we need to take the first one, and Allah will guide us through the rest of it. Allahu
Alam.
Amen. Even in this worldly relationship, this thing is...
Exactly, yeah.
We have a relationship with somebody, we have to trust.
Right, right. Right, right. Even in our profession. In our profession, you know, in medicine, you start reading anatomy, you say, I cannot read this stuff, you know. Then anatomy become nothing. And then you go physiology, and then you graduate, you know, and so on and so forth. The more you get, the more it's become like nothing, what you have gone through.
I avoided medicine because of the terminology.
Yeah. You have to take the first step. You have to. You have, it's harder. Hard, the first step is hard.
Okay.
We have a half an hour.
It's not my fault. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.